in order to drive a sustainable financial performance, and I think this is the same whether you're talking about banking or any other business, is you need to make sure that you are delivering excellence for your customer. You need to ensure that you've got your people engaged and you are developing them. You need to make sure you're managing risk really effectively, whatever that risk might be. If you've got those three foundations solid around your people, your customers, and your risk management, it gives you the opportunity to drive sustainable financial performance.
Welcome to the Business Mastermind Podcast with business strategist, speaker, and author, Gavin Preston. Tap into this meeting of minds between everyday business people on their journey to master business growth. Join them as they share strategies, insights, and shortcuts to help you survive and thrive in business and life as you scale your business and achieve a bigger impact.
Hi, Gavin here. Welcome to episode 82 of the Business Mastermind Podcast. Super excited to bring this episode to you. I have the great privilege of sitting down with David Beattie. David is the head of business banking for HSBC UK. David and I have known each other for over a decade. We've done work together in the past, and it was great to sit down with him in HSBC's offices in Canary Wharf in London and have a conversation about leadership, about business growth, about the 2020s as the next business decade, and about the things that excite him and the things that he thinks that business owners and leaders should be paying attention to. A candid interview, an articulate interview, a very well considered in terms of his responses, really fascinating and full of insight. So it's a great honour and a privilege to bring you the interview that I've done with David Beattie, who's head of business banking for HSBC UK.
So welcome to the Business Mastermind Podcast. I have the great pleasure of sitting down with David Beattie, head of the business banking segment of HSBC UK. David, welcome.
Thanks very much, Gavin. Lovely to be with you again.
Yeah, a long time no see. We're just saying it's been about 8 to 10 years since we've had the pleasure of each other's company.
Indeed, time flies by when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And your career is, and I've tracked your career growing, so which has been fantastic. So by way of introduction, could you explain your role in HSBC UK and some of the highlights of your sort of career journey to date?
Yes, Gavin, thanks very much. So I'm UK head of business banking. So that means I'm responsible for a team of about 900 people who support 67,000 customers. It's a relationship managed proposition, and we have about 500 relationship managers across the UK. And we deal with customers typically turning over up to £10 million, but very much on a relationship managed basis and a local relationship management basis at that. Thinking about my career, I'm now into my 37th year with HSBC. Wow. So I started as a Midland bank boy. And I guess I've enjoyed my career very much, and I'm humbled to be leading the team that I do today. Previous roles have included lots of different things. Most recently, I was running the corporate banking team in North Region before coming into this role about 2.5 years ago.
Great. So what do you taking the segment up to 10 million turnover in the UK, what do you see as some of the key trends facing those businesses over the, well, we're starting a new decade, so over the next sort of decade?
Well, the most obvious one, I think, is the technology changes that we're seeing, the digital disruption that we're seeing, and the way that customers are adapting to that particular opportunity. And I meet customers a lot, and it's very rare now that I meet a customer that hasn't got some form of online presence within their business. And the way that they are adapting and using technology is very interesting. But it varies very much from segment to segment. The second thing I would say is the change in customer expectations. So I think we are moving away from customer service being something that is what we need to aspire to, delivering great customer service, to delivering great customer experience. And you know, Gavin, you are much younger than me, I know, but when you get to my age, you think about how things are changing. And you know, it's now typical for somebody to sit in their home or on the train at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, go onto Amazon, order something, and they expect it to be delivered to their home the very next day.
Absolutely.
And particularly the younger generation, that is now the level of customer service that they expect.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's about how you deliver a customer experience on top of a good customer service. And I think that still is about where personality, individual rapport building has a big part to play.
And then the interface between the technology and the relationship and the customer experience is key, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think Amazon's another great example because everybody talks about Amazon and it's amazing. Actually, I see the share price shot up another 10% this week as they announced more amazing Christmas sales figures, up 21%, which is staggering given the size of that business. But you never get to speak to anybody at Amazon.
No.
And yet the service levels that they typically deliver and we expect from them are so significant.
Yeah. And so their investment, of course, has been in their logistics and their distribution system, to whether it's the vertical integration into their own ships and their own van delivery network or their own planes, etc. And who knows, in the future, drones to bring the package to our doorstep in the future.
Indeed, they are regular visitors to my house, for sure, Gavin. I mean, I think the third thing, just to cover off the third point after technology and digital disruption, and then the customer experience expectations, I think is around sustainability. And increasingly, I think consumers are wanting to do business with companies that evidence the environmental and sustainable agenda within their business. And,
sure.
And I think that is now playing out into commercial businesses and their supply chains and looking at that sustainability factor within that. And increasingly, I see that as something that can differentiate businesses in the future.
So those are three key areas. And of course, like every business, that's affecting the banking sector and affecting HSBC in the UK as well. So I know that from the stuff I've read online and in the press, there's been a good deal of investment in the digital platforms and there's going to be a release of is it the Kinetic product?
That's right. Kinetic by HSBC. Now, this is our digital banking platform for the future. It's targeted at small startup businesses initially, but it's looking to be more than just a banking platform. It's looking to be a provider of financial information, not just something that can help with the administration, but can actually provide some support, guidance, and direction to new businesses. So we're really excited about that particular opportunity for us. It's currently in beta testing,
yes,
with customers. So we hope to launch that later in the year.
And certainly I see from the businesses that I interact with, a number of whom are HSBC clients and customers, and they are actually doing more and more of their banking from their app.
Yes, you're right. I mean, the Kinetic is going to be app-based, and I think that is the future, isn't it? I mean, the number of things that we do through our smartphone now is incredible. And I think if you think about the demographics that face our business, one of them is the way that younger people want to do business. And
sure.
I think, you know, traditionally as a banker, it was face-to-face was really important. It's great to be with you face-to-face, but of course, face-to-face now can include doing something over your mobile phone, very,
sure,
very simply. But I think that young people, and I am generalizing here, I realize that, but I think young people are far more comfortable in not having a face-to-face presence because they're used to that. They've been brought up in that way. And I think that will be their expectation. And I think so Kinetic, I think, is a very exciting product for us and service for us to provide to particularly that younger generation of customer whose expectations may be different to those of some of our other customers.
Great. So we've seen trends. We've talked about trends. What do you see as some of the challenges facing the segment of businesses who are turning up to about 10 million a year?
Well, there is the macroeconomic sort of factors that are there. We are recording this. Can I say when we're recording this?
Yes,
we're recording this on the 31st of January. So we are hours away from formally leaving the European Union later today. And of course, I know we've then got to go through the transition period and we've got to hopefully achieve a great trade agreement with our European partners. But I saw that the Bank of England actually downgraded its forecast only this week for GDP growth from 1.2% for this year to 0.8%, and similarly from 1.8% to 1.4% for 2021. So in the UK, we have that challenge, mm-hmm. opportunity that we need to face into together. And more broadly, of course, we've got global challenges around an environment of lower interest rates expected now for longer than originally envisaged.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got the challenge of the potential trade dispute between the US and China, and hopefully that will they will achieve an excellent outcome for both parties there. And we've got the coronavirus, a dreadful thing that's happening in China, and is now, I think this morning I read that the first two cases have been confirmed in the UK. It's in 19 countries around the world now. And who knows what impact that will have on the Chinese economy, but SARS knocked probably 2% GDP off the Chinese economy in that year, if it has that sort of impact.
And then, of course, international travel and then trade.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, Hong Kong as well is really important to HSBC Group, and they've effectively reduced the number of people that are entering into Hong Kong, and of course the number of people who are looking to go to China at the moment, people are trying to get out of China. So that is uncertainty in the short term. Hopefully it'll be something that people can deal with. But there's that backdrop of challenge, as well as how do I keep evolving my business to ensure that I'm delivering for my customers, not just today, but thinking about how they want me to deliver for tomorrow. But what I would say, despite all of that, Gavin, is that in my experience, there is always opportunities for well-led, well-managed businesses. And in fact, in our recent Navigator report, when we talked about international trade opportunities, 74% of respondents were positive about the prospects for international trade, despite the challenges that they know that we face into. So we've got to be careful that we don't talk ourselves into being too cautious.
Yeah, absolutely. But it seems to be that the phrase you always used to be, change is the only constant. But then there's a phrase about be uncertainty, uncertain times. So we had the last sort of 3 years of uncertainty after the referendum. Now we've got uncertainty around trade deals or travel and global viruses, etc. So what do you think business owners and leaders should be thinking about when there are uncertain times, when there are challenging times, in order to seek an opportunity, in order to take advantage of some of those trends that we spoke about before?
Yeah, I agree with that. Leadership, if only it was all easy, we could all do it really, really well, couldn't we? And that's
sure.
Whether you're running your own business or you're running part of a bank like I am. But I think that really the challenge of leadership is one of, there's always going to be ambiguity. Thank you. My apologies. It's been a long journey here. Ambiguity and sort of uncertainty in leadership challenges that we face. And you have to face into that. I think the most important thing that leaders in that situation should do is they need to make a decision. You know, there's nothing worse for me than prevarication, not making a decision. It might be that the decision is to do nothing at the moment and wait and see, but it has to be a conscious decision that you make. But equally, all of your competitors are likely to be facing into the same challenges as you are in whatever business that you run. And so that provides an opportunity to be bold, to think a little bit more ambitiously, with a little more imagination. Perhaps think about markets that you've not previously explored. What about exploring them? The opportunity for exports must be significant for many, many businesses, or new customers, or doing new things with existing customers. So I think it's about always looking at your business and the opportunities it might create for you and for your customers.
And never to sit on your laurels, really content. You know, things are going well in terms of the trading track record or performance of your business. You've always got to be looking to innovate, haven't you? Where's the next innovation going to be coming from?
Of course, the successful businesses, they never stand still, do they?
No.
I mean, if the sporting analogy, Alex Ferguson, probably one of the most successful footballing managers in history with Manchester United. I'm not a Manchester United supporter, but I admired what Ferguson achieved. And when he had a brilliant football team, the team that was winning the league, he would often sell two or three of his, what appeared to be his best players, to bring in new different, perhaps slightly younger players who is always building the team for the future as well as achieving in the team of today. And I think that's what businesses need to do. Even when you're doing well, you've got to think always about the future. And I think an essential part of effective leadership is looking towards the future, thinking about tomorrow. And that can be challenging because a lot of business is about managing the today, the challenges, the reactions that you've got to do, the firefighting that you have to do on a daily basis. And that makes it difficult to refocus on leadership, which I think includes looking to the future. And sometimes you just have to stand back and think, blimey, I've been doing a lot of managing over the last few weeks and not enough thinking about the future. So I'm okay today, but how do I ensure that me, my business, my people in my business are really going to thrive tomorrow as well?
And how do you personally ensure that you create the space to think about the future? Given the busyness of day-to-day demands on your time and your diary being filled.
Well, I'm not alone in facing into that challenge. I think the first thing is to be aware of the need for it and to see the benefits of it.
Sure.
Because what I'm really talking about is prioritization.
Sure.
If I'm choosing to spend my time in a certain way every day, that's a choice that I make. Generally, sometimes things are imposed on me and are necessary, but often I have a choice as to what I'm doing. And it's how I prioritize those choices that I think will determine whether I'm a successful leader or not. Prioritization is absolutely essential to good business leadership, in my view.
And using the word about being aware, being conscious and aware about how you're choosing to spend your time. So even when some things are apparently out of your control, you're actually making a choice over the course of whether it's a time frame of several weeks, you're checking back in and saying, actually, have I dedicated enough time to thinking about leadership and the future?
Yes. And I think people need to be resilient. And that's an easy thing to say. And I know we've got to be very aware of that. But personal resilience, I think, is an important factor in successful leadership today, because there will be bumps in the road. Whatever you are doing, there will be unexpected challenges. There will be difficult moments. And I'm a great believer that you learn the biggest lessons in life through moments of pain and failure.
For sure.
Not through those successful, enjoyable journeys, through moments of pain and failure. But if you can learn from the pain and failure of others, that's much preferable.
Yes.
So, you know, if you can watch what's going on elsewhere and try and learn where you see things done that perhaps has not worked out as well, and make sure you don't make those mistakes, that increases the probability of success. But I would say as well, Gavin, that whilst I'm talking about the importance of personal resilience, I think we also need to be very aware as we look around us and watch out for the signs of colleagues that perhaps are struggling with that personal resilience,
absolutely,
either as a consequence of work pressure or life pressure, whatever it might be. I think we need to take ownership when we're leading our people around identifying when people are perhaps moving from just coping to struggling and trying to catch them before sometimes, unfortunately, they fall unwell. And life's fast today, isn't it? It moves fast, and we've just got to make sure that we take everybody with us.
In actual fact, it struck me by the end of last year how many conversations I had with business owners that were struggling, and that were only struggling on in one domain of their life, being their business. They were also having impact outside of work as well, and it's tough, and it really brought home to me about what level of extra support can provide for those individuals that are doing their very best in each of their areas of their own lives, but actually are finding it more and more difficult to cope.
And I completely agree with that, because I think it's very difficult to have a wonderfully happy home life if you're really, really struggling at work.
For sure.
And equally, if you've got significant challenges in your home life, it's very difficult to just enjoy work. I do think that if you can create an environment, whether it's at home or at work, where you can enjoy that environment, you're more likely to be successful. And the more likely you are to be successful, the more likely you are to enjoy what you're doing. And I think if you are being successful and enjoying what you're doing, that builds a resilience for those difficult moments. conversely, where you are struggling, you're more likely to be unhappy. And that can be very difficult then. And that's where I sometimes think we see that final bump, that final hurdle that people trip over and then are unwell and need even more support.
Yes, I think there's two things that are coming out of this for me around the role of a leader. One is to work on creating an environment where people can enjoy and thrive at work. And secondly, to create an environment where it's okay to put your hand up and say, I'm actually struggling, I could do with some help.
Yes, and within HSBC, we have worked very hard to build what we call a speak-up culture.
Yep.
And that's important in two ways, I think. One, if we see, and we've made mistakes in the past. One, if a colleague sees something that doesn't look right from the way that we're dealing with customers, then we want them to shout up. Sure. And say, look, let's think again about this. We need that voice to speak up. But equally, we want to encourage people to talk about personal challenges that they might be facing into. And positively, we've seen some real progress in that. But interestingly, 73% of colleagues who have a physical illness would be happy to talk to their line manager. I wish it was 100%, but it's 73%.
That's high, I would have thought. Yeah, it's good.
But only 53% would feel comfortable talking to their line manager if they had a mental health issue.
Really?
And so we're working hard to close that gap so that people feel as comfortable talking about mental health as they do their physical health. And of course, we don't want it to be 73%. Great that 3/4 feel comfortable in speaking to their line manager. But we want that to be 100% on both physical and mental health.
And linking back to your earlier point about the pace of life and almost the tempo, the metronome set by Jeff Bezos around, you press buy now and it arrives on your doorstep the day later or with drones hours later. I think some of that challenge when it comes to businesses have to respond with speed and with pace, and yet individuals at time need to be able to take the foot off the gas, don't they? And need to have a bit of a breath and time to reflect and recoup.
And again, something that we've put a lot of focus into this year is the wider well-being agenda, financial well-being, mental well-being, physical well-being. Because I don't know about you, Gavin, but if I'm feeling fit and healthy, then I'm far more able to, again, deal with the challenges that I face.
Absolutely.
But if I'm working long hours and I don't have time then to prioritize my own well-being, space for myself, time with the family, physical fitness, then actually over time that makes work harder and harder. And it's a balance that we all have to strike, and it's not an easy one. And I think the other thing is it's a very personal one as well.
Of course.
Because if I talk about my own work-life balance, I'm very happy with my work-life balance, but my wife is not at all happy with my work-life balance. So it is a very personal thing to every individual how you make that work.
And I think it's also about making that conscious choice to being present when you're either at work or when you're at home. So it might be a limited period of time at home, but they get 100% of David.
That's absolutely right, and it's something that I need to keep practicing at for sure.
I know that feeling. I had a moment, I think it was a couple of years back, where it was bath time at home, and my two boys were in the bath, and the eldest, and I was checking and replying to a message, and at the time he was like 3 years of age, 4 years of age, and he just said to me, "Daddy, be here now." When I went, "Whoa, where did that come from?" And it's just like, okay, caught me red-handed. Yeah, okay. And it is about being conscious. I'm here now, so I'm going to be present.
Yes, and that's sometimes difficult if you've come back from a long and tough day at work, and actually you want that moment to yourself. And of course, your family wants you in that moment immediately to be 100% the best dad, the best partner that you're able to be. And as I say, I think I need to keep practicing at that.
So the theme really from a leadership point of view here is about us taking some time to be aware of what are our priorities in the different areas of our life and making sure that we put enough focus and time into those areas that are really going to move the dial inside work and then outside of work.
I agree.
Yeah.
So as you look forward into 2020s, what excites you most about sort of the opportunities in the world of business?
The fact that HSBC continues to be able to bank some wonderful businesses, some wonderful business leaders, and we will continue to do that. I think we have a huge opportunity for HSBC to support more customers in the UK than we currently do. We are growing, we're pleased with the growth that we're seeing in our business. We're pleased with the improvements that we're seeing in our customer satisfaction levels. We're pleased with the improvements that we're seeing in our people engagement levels as well. I'm a great believer that in order to drive a sustainable financial performance, and I think this is the same whether you're talking about banking or any other business, is you need to make sure that you are delivering excellence for your customer. You need to ensure that you've got your people engaged and you are developing them. You need to make sure you're managing risk really effectively, whatever that risk might be. If you've got those three foundations solid around your people, your customers, and your risk management, it gives you the opportunity to drive sustainable financial performance. And I think HSBC in the UK and globally is well placed to deliver that. But those solid foundations only give you the opportunity. They don't guarantee anything. You've still got to make the right calls around what do you do to drive that sustainable financial performance.
So as your career has grown and progressed, what have you had to put more effort into in terms of developing your own skills? You know, if you think back over the 37 years thus far.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I've made loads of mistakes. I mean, I could go on Mastermind sort of on a specialized subject, mistakes I've made with people, mistakes I've made with customers, but I do believe that you've got to learn. I mean, one of the big things for me, Gavin, was when I was much younger, I was so frightened of public speaking.
Yeah.
So frightened. And I know many people fear public speaking. And I realized that if I wanted to aspire to leadership, there were probably going to be many moments in my career where I'd have to speak publicly. And so I could either decide that I was going to limit my career through this this inadequacy that I felt that I had within myself, or I could try and move outside my comfort zone and do it. So it'd be if I was in an environment where there was a large group and there was a question and answer session, I tried to ask the first question. So that was a little sort of step into public speaking. And then I became perhaps more proficient at it. And now I love it. And in fact, I was lucky enough to be hosting the commercial banking leadership event last week, 350 people in the room. And I have to say, my idea of fun now is an audience of 350 people in a room, and I've got the microphone, they've got to listen to me. But that, and people make this misjudgment. They say, oh, I wish I was like you, you're a natural public speaker. And I say, no, I'm not. It's something that everybody can get comfortable with. It's like anything else in life. If you want to run a marathon, you've got to start by running 500 meters. You've got to start, you've got to push yourself out there. And if you do that, you've got a chance of becoming proficient at anything, whether it's public speaking, whether it's a physical thing, or whether it's some other form of learning, mental learning. You've got to take that first step and be brave, whatever you're doing.
And that is obviously a key mode of communication. And as a leader, you need to be communicating clearly, both to your team, but the external marketplace. And now, of course, with social media, there's more and more thirst and demand for us to be speaking to a public forum, whether they are face to face or whether they're the other end of a screen, the other side of a screen.
Yes, and thank you for this opportunity to talk to you today, Gavin. I've mixed views on social media. Clearly, it can be a source of great things and can do a lot of good.
Sure,
but I think actually also there are potential for harm through social media.
I think you
see this in the way that young people can be perhaps bullied online, and maybe their parents are not even aware of it.
Yes.
And that worries me. It worries me that people seem much more comfortable in being very negative and controversial in their commentaries online, which most of them would not be comfortable in doing in a face-to-face environment. So I I tend to gently shy away from social media and let others sort of have play their part around that. But that's not to say there isn't the opportunity for it to do great good, and there's loads of people who ensure that social media has a massively positive impact on lots of lives too.
Oh, for sure.
So you've talked about taking time to think and focus on leadership in areas of priorities. Are there anything else, any other things that you do to keep on top of your game and continually improve?
Yeah, if I can come back to your question around the sort of things that I've learned, and I mentioned that I've made a lot of mistakes, but and I've tried to learn that along the way. So I've got three things that are important to me around leading teams of people now that I've built up over the years. And it wouldn't matter actually whether I was in my current role, moving into a different role within the bank, or moving outside of banking, I still think these for me would be things that I would consider. And that there are three things that I can sum up in seven words. So the first one is to make brilliant appointments. Make brilliant appointments. The second one is set clear direction. And the third one is empowerment, or if you prefer two words, don't interfere. Because what I've learned, having made, unfortunately, a number of bad appointments in my career, and by bad appointments, I mean I've let people down, I've appointed people into the wrong position. And whilst that's been a problem for me, I'm very aware that when you make a bad appointment, you put that person into a position where they are going to struggle potentially, and they might fail despite your efforts to support them. And so I always look at a bad appointment and I look in the mirror and think, I've let that individual down. We have to take risk with some people, but we have to make sure in taking risks, we support them appropriately. And we don't make what I sometimes call a compromise appointment. So I've got a team of six. I've only got four people. I'm just desperate to get somebody to fill that seat. Sure. You put the wrong person in, it's short-term pain relief, and medium-term, it's more pain. So getting the right people for the key roles, because of course, if they are in themselves leaders, they have a very significant impact on a lot of people. So make brilliant appointments. The second one is set clear direction. I sometimes get frustrated internally as well as externally at the number of priorities. I will tell you a small secret. I once read an email, which out many, many years ago, I'm pleased to say, from quite a senior individual at the time within my organization, certainly senior to me, and they were listing the priorities for the year ahead. And I read this email and I reread it and then started counting the priorities, and there were 45 priorities.
Whoa.
So in other words, there were no priorities at all.
Of course.
You can't have a long list of priorities.
No.
You've got to have, I would argue, if it's more than three, maybe four, then it's probably too many. And if you've decided there's 10 important things, but the three most important are the top three, make sure you nail them before worrying too much about number 8, 9, and 10, and you know, and moving on to them and distracting yourself from 1, 2, and 3. So set clear direction is really important. Not easy to do always, but important. And the third one is to empower, because my view is that if you've got really good people who are clear what you expect from them, then allow them to go out and show what they can do through empowerment. Challenge them, support them, but most importantly, empower them. And that, over my career in leadership, are probably the things that I keep taking now to every role that I move into. And, well, it's worked for me anyway, Gavin, it's worked for me.
And if there was a positive message you could leave to sort of business owners around the prospects, given some level of uncertainty around trade, et cetera, but also given the opportunities, what would be sort of your positive words of encouragement be?
We know that many of the massive businesses of 30 years' time don't even exist today.
That's for sure. Yeah.
We know if we look back 25 years, there was nobody's heard of a Google or an Amazon or a Netflix or a Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, so the reality is I would encourage people to be ambitious for their business. To be ambitious for their business, whether that is focusing even more intensely on what you're already good at and seeing how you can develop that further, or being really imaginative about the opportunities that might face your business. I think as a leader, you set the attitude and pace of the team that you lead to a large extent. So if you are positive and ambitious for you, your business, and your people, there's a very good chance that they'll be positive and ambitious alongside you. And I think that doesn't guarantee success, but it gives you the best chance of success.
David, thank you so much for your time today and for your evident preparation and succinct answers. It's a real privilege. If people listening to this want to find out more about your business banking proposition, where would you suggest they go?
If they go initially to, if they're non-HSBC customers, if they go to, they can go to the HSBC website, hsbc.co.uk, or alternatively, they can walk into any of our branches and ask to see a business specialist. Or we've got commercial centres around the country who they can contact directly. Or if they've already got a professional that they work with, an accountant, a lawyer, anybody like that, all of those people will know contacts locally within HSBC. So there are many ways to get in contact with HSBC, and we would love to hear from them.
David, thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Ben.
You've been listening to the Business Mastermind podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review so that more people like you can get their business back on their own terms, enjoy more success, and create more impact.